Sometime within the first 2 months, as I was getting like videos suggested to me on YouTube while I was watching other things, a motoblog came up and I was like, oh, what's that? And I think it was Doodle on a Motorcycle. And I watched this and I was like, well, this is cool. Like, and I identified with it, you know, granted she's a much younger female than me, but just seeing a female on a motorcycle out there just kind of being herself, doing her thing, sharing things about her motorcycle journey. And then from there, I kind of skipped around and discovered a bunch of other moto vlogs. I was like, this is really neat.
That was the voice of Gina of the YouTube channel Ginger-Moto. And this is Ted Kettler, your host here on the Motorcycle Man Podcast. And this is episode 282.
It's Motorcycle Man.
Today's interview is with Gina. She is a creator of the Ginger-Moto YouTube channel, and she's here today to tell me and you all about her channel, being a new rider, riding in Florida, and the task of creating videos for her quickly growing channel. So stick around and enjoy this interview. Motorcycle Men Podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. They offer high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. To learn more, you want to head on over to ScorpionUSA.com. And Schenko Tires. Now, Schenko has a tire to suit your needs and riding style without breaking your bank account. So go on over to Schenko Tire USA. Think of Schenko, that's what we say, and tell them that the Motorcycle Men sent you. And Wild Ass Seats. Now, you can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, go to wild-ass.com and get your cushion today. Make sure you tell them that the Motorcycle Men sent you on over. And, of course, our good friends over at Tobacco Motorwear. Now, I've been using Tobacco Motorwear now for quite a few years, and I couldn't be happier. And for the best in casual riding gear for men and women, there's only one place you should be going, and that is Tobacco Motorwear. Visit them at TobaccoMotorwear.com, and our listeners will get 10% off when you use the coupon code MOTOMEN. Now, your safety is worth it. Get on over there and get in Dave's pants. And, of course, UClear Digital. Now, UClear helmet communication systems are based on direct feedback from riders, dealers, and industry experts to be the most advanced weatherproof comm systems ever. Enhance your rides with UClear's DynaMesh-compatible intercom, powerful music, and crystal-clear phone calls on any road, any trail, and on any helmet. To learn more, go over to UClearDigital.com and tell them that the Motorcycle Men Podcast sent you. Time now for an interview. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Motorcycle Man Podcast. This is episode 282, and joining me all the way from somewhere in sunny Florida, where it's apparently very hot all the time, this is Gina of Ginger-Moto, the YouTube channel. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Ted. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. I greatly appreciate it. I like to have moto vloggers on, especially new channels, and especially women who get into riding, because there isn't enough of that. So I'm glad you're here. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, well, you're in Central Florida, you had said earlier. And
yes.
Do you like Central Florida?
No, not particularly. And I know all of the Floridians and even people that I personally know, they get really offended when I say I don't like living here. But, you know, you like what you like. And I'm just a big whiner when it comes to the hot summers that we have here. It's like five months of brutal torture. That's how it feels to me. Maybe it's because I grew up in the north. I don't know.
Well, where in the north did you grow up?
I am from Western Maryland. I was born and raised there. And no, I was nowhere near the coast. People always hear Maryland and they're like, oh, Chesapeake Bay. And I'm like, never been there.
So you're very much west of, D.C., of course.
Yes, I lived in the tri-state area. I could leave my house and I could drive maybe 10 minutes and I would be in Pennsylvania, and maybe 15 minutes and be in West Virginia.
Yeah. So you might know where the Torreira Winery is then.
I'm not familiar with that one, no.
It's right in that area. Well, you may have to make a visit. Anyway, so you got your YouTube channel, Ginger-Moto. So, but why don't you tell us a little bit about your motorcycle self and you starting this channel?
For me, motorcycles were something that always interested me. I rode my first one when I was 18. I was dating a teenage boy with a motorcycle, and I'm really shocked that my dad actually let me leave the house on the back of that motorcycle.
Really?
Yeah. But I just loved the whole experience of motorcycling, but for various reasons, it just simply was never an option for me until last year, and I decided to treat myself for my 50th birthday and decided, if I don't do it now, when will I do it? That was my thinking at the time. So I bought a small sport bike. It's a 2018 Suzuki GSX 250R. So it's definitely, small in the CC, small CC variety motorcycle there. I figured it would be a great bike to learn on. And since I had never even started one up until then, I figured I had a lot to learn.
Yeah.
And motovlogging wise, I discovered motovlogging a few months after I had my bike because I was watching a lot of training things on YouTube.
Yeah.
And Doodle on a Motorcycle was the first channel that I discovered, and from there I just kind of went on and realized, this is a thing. Motovlogging is a thing. But I wasn't really committed to doing it yet, and I kind of vacillated back and forth over, will I do this? Maybe not. I meant to start in October of 2020, and then I didn't. So I made a deadline, and I said, okay, January 2021, I'm going to do it. And I put my first video up on the first Thursday of January of this year.
Wow. So your inspiration to start a motovlog channel was just because you were watching other motovloggers do the same thing?
Well, no, that wasn't really my inspiration exactly. First of all, I really identified with the fact that these were women because I really liked watching female motovloggers. And there weren't a lot of them. And there's a variety now. But it was just being able to connect because, like you said, there aren't enough female motorcyclists. There are more and more every year.
Oh, it's growing. It's growing rapidly.
Yes. It is definitely a growing section of motorcycling overall. Mm-hmm. But that's what attracted me to watching motovlogging. But then I was like, here we are in this miserable year that 2020 turned out to be.
Yeah.
And I have a history. Most of my life, I did theater. And theater went away last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't really come back. And it won't come back, at least not the way it was for a while, and I was missing a creative outlet, so it was kind of a mixture of things there. And it was also I'm perfectly comfortable standing on a stage doing theater, but I don't like to be on video. Like, I don't like,
video is more up close and personal.
Yes, and it's me, and I explained this, I think, in my very first video on my channel, and that is I'm not nervous or uncomfortable or self-conscious or anything doing theater and performing because I get to be somebody else.
Right.
But doing the channel meant I had to be me. I had to be transparent. I mean, sure, I could pretend to be someone else, but I don't want to do that. I figured, okay, I'm going to push myself. And that was a big motivation for me, is to just, push past some boundaries and try something new.
Well, the thing about moto vlogging is it's, although you are on camera, if you choose to be, well, you have a two camera setup, right? Yeah,
I do.
So now you're on camera whenever you decide to have the view switch to you. But you're not really on the camera because, you know, it's like, you know, nobody really sees you.
You know, oh, yeah, I'm super comfortable wearing a helmet. Like, that doesn't feel that wasn't awkward. But I also watched all of these other moto vloggers and motorcycle content creators. And, you know, they get in front of the camera and talk. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to do that, too.
Now,
I mean, no, it's
to.
Not like there's a rule.
No.
But I just figured, I knew that that was one more evolution for me.
Eventually.
Forcing myself to do something that I wasn't comfortable with.
Right. Well, now here you are riding, and now you've been on this 250 now for about a year, right?
I've been on it for 15 months.
15 months. Now, what made you pick that bike?
It was cheap. Not kidding.
Bottom line, right out of the gate, it was cheap.
And I've been very transparent about that as well. I have always been an incredibly frugal person. And part of
that
is...
You can say cheap. It's okay. We understand.
Yeah. Cheap, thrifty. I usually say cheap and people are like, no, don't call yourself that. And I'm like, but it's true. I'm cheap.
Yeah, okay. It's okay. Hey, look, you know, I always say finances dictate actions.
Yes. And I have seen far too many people put themselves in an uncomfortable situation because they overextend themselves financially.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be one of those people. Not to mention, you know, to be completely honest, you know, I've never had a lot of extra income that I could just play with. You know,
I totally get it.
Yeah, for me, this motorcycle, even though it was inexpensive in the grand scheme of things,
it's a luxury.
It was still exactly. Yeah. It was a luxury purchase for me.
Now, that being the case, was there something else that you wanted?
Honestly, no. My main focus was I wanted a sport bike because that's all I had ever been a passenger on, and I loved them. And I'm okay. Like, I don't care if I'm 50, I can get a sport bike if I want to.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, you can ride anything you want.
I'll get what I want.
Have you ridden any other, since you've got your license, have you ridden any other motorcycles?
I have not ridden a single other motorcycle.
Really? Are you
no.
Are you curious about other motorcycles? Are you moto curious?
I am definitely moto curious. However, dealerships are super funny about letting you test ride anything these days. I don't know if it's always been that way, but
well, it depends upon where you go.
Yeah, well, when you live in a small town, which is really kind of where I live, there's very few options.
Yeah.
And you know, the Harley dealership definitely isn't going to let me come ride anything.
Oh, yeah, they will. Are you kidding me? Absolutely they will. I promise you they will. You walk in there and you say, I would like to take that motorcycle for a ride. They'd go, hey, I'll hand you the keys. And they say, okay, just don't scratch it. Bring it back.
No, no.
You know,
I'm not dissing Harley riders or Harley dealerships, but some of them are more friendly than others.
Although this is true. I will agree with that. This is true.
Yes.
Most of the ones that I deal with, you walk in there and I just can say, I would like to take that for a ride. Okay. And they'll just hand me the keys and just bring it back in a couple hours. And that's it.
Yeah.
No problem whatsoever.
Honestly, though, I don't have an interest in Harley Davidson specifically. I would like to ride other bikes. I have some friends who have some Ninja 400s.
There you go.
And they've offered to let me take a ride on one of their bikes. And I'm like, yeah, I'd like to do that. But they live kind of 45 minutes away, and it just becomes this thing where I have to kind of plan it. So I haven't done that yet.
You know, when some of these events, like, well, for example, you have Daytona, which you are not far from Daytona at all.
Right.
And if you were to go to that, you could definitely probably test ride anything you wanted.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't like crowds.
Says the woman who spends time on the stage in front of crowds.
But again, I am separated from those people. They're in their seats. I'm on the stage. They can't come and talk to me face to face. I am an introvert. People are like, but you're outgoing. I'm like, you don't understand it. This is also something I talked about on my channel. You know, introversion has nothing to do with shyness in many cases. And so for me, people are like, oh, you're going to go to Daytona? And I'm like, no. I don't really like.
Well, you know, if you wore your helmet all the time, nobody would even bother. You know,
depending on which version of Daytona I went to, like if it was the one in the fall and it wasn't blisteringly hot, then sure, I could hide underneath.
Well, they also had. Well, it's in. They just had it in March,
right?
And you had the opportunity to go. So like Sturgis is out of the question for you.
Oh, well, first of all, I can't take a 250. Okay, maybe someone else would, but I'm not taking my 250 on the interstate. People are like, oh, you could totally do it. I'm like, do you know how people drive in Florida? Have you ever been on the interstate in Florida? First of all, the posted speed limit is like 70 miles an hour,
yeah,
which is a gentle suggestion because people are going like 85,
I know.
90.
I know.
A 250, you get that thing all the way up to maybe I can hit 85. I don't know. But then there's nothing left in the tank. If I need to get out of the way, you know, I'm done.
You know,
so no.
I am a big fan of people doing inappropriate things with the absolutely wrong motorcycle. And the fact that you have a 250 should not restrict you whatsoever from doing anything. I mean, do you have any aspirations for taking a long distance trip?
I think if I had a different motorcycle and I really was interested in traveling, then I wouldn't say no to that. But I don't, you know, unless I can, compartmentalize all of my necessities into like a backpack that weighs more than I do, I'd have to add things to, you know, this bike just to be able to carry anything with me. Like there's no luggage area.
Well, to that, I will say there is another moto vlogger out there. Her name is RTW Roxy, and she rides a Honda Fireblade sport bike.
Okay.
And she's riding it around the world.
And hey, more power to her.
And she's got luggage all over this thing. So
yeah,
it can be done.
No, I absolutely agree it can be done. And you mentioned, you know, itchy boots,
yeah,
when we were talking beforehand. And, you know, I've watched a lot of her content. And I think it just takes a special kind of person to want to do that.
I think you got to have that wanderlust. Really?
You do. You do. And I think that for me, I find people will ask questions, like they'll drop comments on my YouTube channel, like on a video, and they'll be like, oh, are you going to do this? Or you should do that. Or you should do that. And I'm like, well, I bought a motorcycle because I wanted to go out and experience something that feels like freedom, because that's like the word that a lot of people think of when they talk about motorcycling.
Right.
And to me, you know, it's exciting and fun and just peaceful and relaxing to kind of zoom around on the back roads.
Absolutely.
And if that is all I ever do, I'm okay with that.
That's fine. Well, let me ask you this question. Now, when you go out and do one of your videos,
mm-hmm,
about how many miles is one of those trips? I mean, I'm sure you're not, I know you're not filming the entire time, but do you like do film a little bit so you can bump and then you continue riding? But how long do you usually ride?
Normally, if I'm I would say 75% of the time when I go out to film a motovlog, I'm only going out to film a motovlog.
Okay.
Because when I go out to do that, you know, I've got the two cameras. Like I said, I don't really have like extra storage capacity on my motorcycle. So usually I'll just go out for a ride just because I have a topic in mind and I want to do a vlog. If I want to go for a ride, I'm not taking the cameras with me.
Oh.
So it's usually two different things. Sometimes, because I've even said it at the end of a few of my videos, I'll finish filming, like I've completed that topic for that moto vlog, and I'm like, okay, I'm turning them off now, and I'm just going to go enjoy the rest of my ride. I'll do that as well.
Right.
But, you know, it just kind of depends.
Right. So these are short little jaunts you're just going on, right?
Just for the vlogs, yeah.
Oh, so however far you can travel in 15 to 30 minutes is how far you're going.
For I find, because to me, safety is really important.
Sure.
And I think that it is impossible not to be somewhat distracted if you are filming a motovlog and riding at the same time. I think the more... even if it's just a corner of your brain, just this small portion of your brain that you are dedicating to having this conversation.
Yeah.
And so I tend to try to stick to roads that are less busy,
sure,
that have lower speed limits and that sort of thing. Yeah. And if I'm going somewhere in particular, then that's kind of off the table. But if I'm just going out because I have a topic in mind, I have certain roads that I'll tend to kind of use and stick to those often.
So are we going to say, like, for example, let's take her two wheels motovlog. Are we going to see you go to the store and maybe go get coffee or go to the post office?
Well, I haven't ever published any sort of post office information, so that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. And I feel like I'd be like borrowing her idea if I were going to go out for coffee. Like, I don't want to be a copycat.
When I do my videos, I go to Dunkin' Donuts, so that's a big deal. I mean, you can still do that.
Yeah, I saw her the other day. She went to Taco Bell and put her Taco Bell purchase in her saddlebag. I'm like, yes. Like, I love seeing stuff like that.
See, it's a wide open field. You can do anything. So, well, you know what the thing about your channel is. When I found your channel, I was like, oh, okay, let me start watching this. And I said, oh, this is great, good. And you're in Florida. And I was like, even better, because most of the other ones I watched, they're like up north. How is the riding in Florida?
I guess it depends on your specific area. But in my area, I mean, for most of Florida, we're just relatively flat. Like, it's just flat roads. Mm-hmm. Straight roads. Like, there's, it's not like you're gonna just come upon some magical gift of, oh, it's a twisty, you know. That's not happening in Florida. There are no twisties in Florida. I say no, but yes, there's probably a few little places here and there where you have to basically travel somewhere just so you can kind of go on a marginally twisty-ish road. But the roads are in pretty decent condition, so I can't complain about that. We don't have to deal with, like, the salt and what happens, you know, up north after they've treated roads for snow. You know, I don't worry about potholes and things of that nature, but the riding itself isn't overly exciting, in all honesty, at least not where I live. And I don't want to be in massive amounts of traffic. So, you know, we do have some beautiful horse farms, so there are some pretty areas to ride, but you have to travel outside.
And basically, when I watch your videos, I see a lot of that. You're in those, I'll call them rural, for lack of a better word. That's where you are. I don't see any palm trees, so I'm disappointed in that.
Okay, well, I'm going to make that a point. Let me make a note. I'm going to palm trees for Ted. I'm writing this down.
I see that.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Now, because the riding is boring, you're saying, does this mean you're going to have to venture out, possibly, you know, maybe further north, maybe, you know, into Georgia, maybe?
I think that is one of the things about starting the YouTube channel that is a little bit challenging. When I first discovered motovlogging, I didn't realize it had been around as a concept, as an idea, as a thing for so long, because it's more than 10 years. Like, I think someone told me there was someone who was motovlogging, like, I don't know, 14, 15 years ago. But I think consumerism, we as consumers now who are taking in these videos, the more modern motovlog channels are much more focused. It's like, it's no longer just about talking about life. And if you do that, people don't like it necessarily. They want to, it's always got to be, you know, motorcycle, 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 you know, I'm modifying, I'm buying a bike, I'm test riding a bike. And I'm not dissing any of those things, because I watch for that kind of content.
Sure.
But if you don't want to do those things, or if that isn't necessarily a direction you want to go in, then you have to kind of sit back and go, well, what is it I want to do? Because I started the channel thinking, who's going to want to watch this? Like, legit, I was like,
you got 9,300 subscribers.
Yes. But.
So 9,300 people want to see what you do.
Well, but when I started, I was like, you know, I'm not doing, or I can't see myself doing all of these things. So maybe these people have subscribed at this point thinking I'm going to start doing those things. I don't know. But I started it saying, okay, I'm going to give it a year. Hopefully, and I literally said this, hopefully by the end of the year, maybe I'll have 1,000 subscribers.
Let me tell you a little story. I have my own YouTube channel also, a vlogging channel. It's called Ride with Ted. And I have had this channel now for 2 years, 3 years. I've got 146 subscribers.
How often do you post?
Okay, I fail in that respect. My last video I posted was a couple months ago. So, yeah. But anyway, but so, man, your first video alone had 148,000 views.
Well, here's what happened as best, because people were like, how did you do this? I'm like, no, you don't understand. You're giving me far too much credit. I didn't do anything. Like, I think I had 3 or 4 videos live, and I had maybe reached the grand total of 170 subscribers at that point. And this lovely gentleman, Bob Nelson, who has a small motovlog channel for, I think, a year, year and a half now. I think he's got 250 subscribers, maybe. He gets on his bike. He rides around and he talks about life. And there's this whole microcosm of YouTubers that do exactly what he does as well. They're small channels, but they all know one another. And so they all go out and say, oh, hey, I saw this new channel. And so he did a shout out to me. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then all of his friends came over and they were like, oh, hey, hi. And they subbed. And a few of them told people. And apparently it was just enough traction for the algorithm to pick me up, because I went from having like 200 subscribers to like 2,000 subscribers in like a couple of days. And it just became this.
It snowballed.
It was insane. And I was not prepared for that.
No pressure.
I was not prepared for that at all.
No pressure.
Yeah. So I don't really know where I'm going with the channel. That's the thing is, there's this, you have to ride this very fine line. At least I feel this. When I started the channel, I didn't start it because I was trying to create a career or business. Right. I did get monetized relatively quickly, but monetization, it's like pocket change. That's not where YouTubers make their money. They make it from partnerships and sponsorships and all of these other things.
Sure.
Merchandise and whatever. But it's like I never planned on doing any of those things because it wasn't meant to be a business.
Right.
And
but opportunities will present themselves eventually.
Perhaps. But I also don't want to sell my soul.
I don't think it's that drastic.
Okay, I'm overstating, but I mean, quite literally, I would never want to rep a product or a bike. And I'm not saying the ones that are doing those things are. I'm saying I know that it is possible to get yourself into a situation where you're only promoting something because you're being paid to.
Right, and, right. You have to believe in what it is you are using. Like, for example, all the sponsors that my podcast have, I only use their gear because I believe in what they do. And I love their product. If I didn't like it, I'm not going to use it. You know, and that's it. Okay, yeah, I reviewed it. I used it. Okay, very good. Thank you very much. And that's it. But eventually that's going to come to you. Eventually.
Yeah, I think it's a chicken egg sort of scenario. Yeah. It's like but also I didn't have any idea the amount of time that would be involved.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in a moment.
Oh my gosh. And it's not even the filming and the editing. It's the trying to, especially when things got hectic and crazy and I just had this I could refresh my little, YouTube app and in like 10 minutes time, I had 70 more subscribers. There was a time where it was that insane.
Wow.
And people were like, oh, now you're bragging. I'm like, no, I'm not. It was kind of terrifying. Because, I feel a certain amount of pressure and people are like, oh, don't feel like you have to do it if it's not fun. And I'm like, yes, I'm not doing it for anyone else, but if I didn't want anyone else to actually watch or respond or comment or interact with me, I wouldn't have done it at all.
Right. Exactly. You know? Yeah, it becomes a labor of love, if anything else.
That's what it
is. Now, not long ago, Jess over at Her Two Wheels got invited by Indian and also by Triumph to go out and ride their bikes. Are you going to do that if you get an invite?
It's funny you mention that.
Uh-oh, you did get an invite.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I think that companies like that would probably be hesitant to invite someone like me because I've only ever ridden a 250. And if they actually watch my channel, they would know that. I don't know that I would trust someone who's only ever ridden a 250 to get on my 1200cc motorcycle. Like, not so sure. But my work situation... I work for multiple companies, as either a part-time employee or as a freelancer. And one of my work situations, I am quite literally responsible for everything. And it's not the kind of business you can shutter for a week and be like, oh, we're closed this week. It doesn't, you can't. It is because of the nature of the business, that's an impossibility.
Right.
And so it's now become somewhat problematic for me to even take a week off to visit my mom in Maryland. And I haven't seen her for a year and a half. And if my boss ever listens to this, I'm not complaining, boss. I love you. But it's become kind of like, oh, but someone just asked me that yesterday. They're like, oh, well, if you got invited to go, you know, to out to one of those events, would you go? And I'm like, I don't know how.
Well, you know, well, you do get vacation time, right? You know, that's it. Now, listen, well,
I've always gotten vacation time in the past, and it's not that I'm not entitled to. It's just that it's become hard to make it happen.
I get it.
Schedules are tough. Sure. But would I love to do something like that? Yeah, I think it would be super cool. But I just don't see myself being a big enough presence, mostly because I'm not really trying to be.
In this medium, you can never not expect anything because it's going to happen.
Yeah, I've had some funny inquiries. Somebody sent me an email. I don't even remember what it was, but then just recently someone sent me an email, sent me a DM on Instagram, and left a comment on my page because they wanted me to try out their LED lights for free. And I'm like, I don't want your LED. I was very tactful, but
okay.
People were like, oh, what are you going to do? What mods are you going to do to your bike? I'm like, none. I'm not modding my bike in any fashion because it is a tool. It is something I enjoy and I'm having fun with, but it is so I can learn to ride. It's so I can become a better rider. But any money that I invest in that motorcycle, you know, for bling purposes or otherwise, I'm not going to get that investment back.
Right.
I'd rather just save my money now and use that for a different bike when I get ready to buy another one.
Yeah. So,
but they're like, are you sure you'd love them? I'm like, I don't, thank you, but no.
I have gotten, just for the podcast even, I've gotten offers to try this and try that. But you know what? I have no interest in your product. Thank you. I will never use it. Thank you. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Try this guy, you know, or perhaps something like that.
Yeah.
I will always
be polite.
Yeah, well, good. You don't. I suppose you don't have to be, but it's good that you are. How'd you come up with the name for the channel?
It was kind of a joke.
Oh.
Because you know, obviously, I bought this small motorcycle, 250cc. As I continue to repeat and pound into everyone's brain, it's 250. So I'm like, okay. First of all, you know, I have red hair, so you know, I've been called Red. I've been called Ginger. I've been called GG, various other iterations of G's, but there's always been something hair related for at least the last 20 plus years.
Sure.
And so that's where the Ginger came from.
Okay.
And the dash, like I said, was kind of a joke because it's not like you can do much more on a 250 than dash around town.
I think your logo is pretty cute too because it's obviously, you know, you on this little 250 doing your thing. You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, a friend of mine designed that for me.
That's very good. It's very cool. So do you have stickers yet you can hand out?
I do not. I do not have stickers.
What are you waiting for?
Because I see everyone else's stickers and they look like super cool. And I'm like, you know, I would have to do some zhuzhing to just make it look like a good sticker.
You're going to have to do some what?
Zhuzhing. It's a term for like, you know, just making things good. I don't know. I heard it somewhere. I'm old. I've heard these things.
I personally love your logo. I think it's round and so it would be perfect for a nice round sticker. Don't sell yourself short.
Well,
I'm telling
you.
Do it.
Yeah. Yeah, keep having people going, oh, you know, because everyone does all these sticker swaps.
Sure.
And I'm like, I looked at someone who had done like a mail call and they'd gotten like, they had a stack of them where they had sent out like 30 and they'd gotten like 30 back. And I'm like, do you know how expensive postage is?
You know,
how much time did it take you to write 30 letters to people? How do you have time for this?
You know, yeah. When you start getting into this thing, cause I send out stickers for the podcast and it can be expensive after a while, you know. It's a thing you do. You know, to promote what you do. And it is, you know. But, so what other YouTube channels do you watch? Are we already establishing like Doodle on a Motorcycle?
Yep, Doodle on a Motorcycle. I love Amanda Zitto from As the Magpie Flies.
Yes.
Yep. Obviously, Itchy Boots. Jess from Her Two Wheels. I watch her quite frequently. There's a couple of other... I don't watch a lot of male YouTubers. I know that makes me sound like I'm... Yeah, I don't know.
Who cares?
It's great to have this feeling of connection.
Yes.
Because... it's just a gender thing.
It's
not that I have anything against, right? You know. I do enjoy watching Shade Tree.
Yeah.
Because that's just the craziest channel ever, and it's just I laugh most of the time because it's entertainment, which is just awesome.
Yeah.
Who else do I watch? Oh, the one channel that I got a lot of early kind of training basics from was Motojitsu.
Really?
Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I watched a lot of really, really informative videos on there, and it was super helpful for someone who takes an MSF class and still can't go over 20 miles an hour because you don't ever go more than 20 miles an hour in an MSF class. And it's like you're like a baby deer. When you leave the MSF class.
You know what the thing is? I started riding, oh God, I got my license in 87, so it's been a while. But even after having my license all those years, I still went and took a class in 2004 just to refresher, just get myself back together. And I'm like, is this all we're doing? Is this it? Just go through the motions. Just you know, but it's one of those things you got to do. You have to do it just to test yourself.
Yes.
And now, can you take an advanced class?
They do. That's the thing is the Motorcycle Safety Foundation offers a lot of different classes, but not in every area. It really depends on the provider.
Right.
And so people are always like, you know, because I'm a new rider. Because, I mean, I've only been on the bike. Like I said, I've owned it for 15 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only sitting at, like, I don't know, 2,000, 2,100 miles. So it's not like I've spent, like, a massive amount of time out there, like, you know, cementing the craft. I feel capable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a complete loser when it comes to making a U-turn. I haven't, haven't made any massive mistakes. I could spend more time on slow skills practice, and that's something I really do want to do. But... in my area, people are like, oh, go take an advanced course. Go do this. Go do that. I'm like, there aren't any.
Really?
Like, legit. There are. I've looked. It's a small town. I live in a small town. Everything's very spread out outside of town. There are multiple places that you can take the basic rider's course. But there's, like, nearby for advanced.
Yeah. Wow. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That stinks. Wow.
Does.
Yeah. So what do you got? Now, listen, it seems like you're such a huge fan of the heat in Florida. What are you going to do in the summer?
Cry. Well, I'm going to cry a lot. No, I'm kidding.
Are you going to are you still going to ride?
I had this discussion last week on the video I posted, basically saying I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for summer.
I haven't watched that one yet. I see it, but I just haven't watched it yet.
Oh, yeah. It's you know, I identify myself as I am, which is a big, fat, whiny baby. Summertime last year was my first year where I had a motorcycle during the summertime.
Right.
And I was also still in the break-in period for my motorcycle when summer first started. And yes, I actually followed the manual and rode it the way I was supposed to.
Oh, so you bought that brand new.
It was brand new.
Oh, wow.
It was a new old stock motorcycle. So not only did I get the fun of breaking in a motorcycle, but I got the fun of paying for the 600-mile service. That was great.
Yay. Anyway, so riding in the heat, what are you going to do?
I rode a lot more last summer after dark, which doesn't help me for motovlogging.
True.
Because I don't care if you've got the most advanced, newest version of the GoPro. They probably are better in low light than the one I have, but yeah, no. just not an option.
Wow. So, what are you going to do this year?
I don't know. I have a mesh jacket. I rode sometime within the last 3-4 days, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try that, you know, making your shirt wet underneath, you know, your jacket so that when the air goes by, you feel cooler. So I tried that.
And?
Because it was really hot. It was like, feels like 99, last week. And it's only May. So I tried that, and that was, you know, it actually felt kind of cool. It was nice. But I would not ride in the middle of the day. I'm a night owl. I am usually still awake at 1:30 or 2 in the morning.
I know what that's all about.
So the idea of trying to get up in the morning to go out for a ride is just abhorrent to me.
But so what you're saying is you're not a morning person.
I am not a morning person. So I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. It's definitely going to be a trial and error situation, something I will most likely be reporting on the channel as it evolves.
Oh, great. Now, how do you feel about the process of creating the channel and your video and posting it?
I have worked video adjacent for, I don't even know, 30 years. And when I say that, I did voiceovers for years.
Love doing voiceovers. That's fun.
Oh, yeah. I still have a whole, you know, voiceover studio set up in another room that is running on a 14-year-old Mac Mini.
If it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Well, the thing is, it's like I have Pro Tools on there, and you can't put that version of Pro Tools on a newer Mac Mini, so I'm just stuck with what I got. And when it dies, it's gone. So
wow.
But anyway, the video process. So I've worked with videographers in an admin capacity, and so I've been like around videography for a very, very, very long time. But I was asked many times by a friend of mine who has a video company to learn how to video and learn how to edit. And I was like, no, because I knew. I just knew.
Look at you now.
I was going to get sucked into doing all of this work that I just had no interest in. I love photography. I've been using Photoshop, which is another Adobe product.
Sure.
Because I edit with Premiere Pro, which is Adobe. Mm-hmm. So Photoshop, I've been using that for 20 years. I love, you know, digital manipulation and just having fun in that right. kind of framework. But the thought of doing video, I was so diametrically opposed to doing it that I had to force myself to accept the fact that, oh, wow, I have to learn this now. So once I like, you know, finally figured out the camera setup, got the audio sounding good, you know, I downloaded Premiere Pro and I played around with it and I watched a ridiculous number of YouTube videos on how to use it. And then once I got in there, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. This looks very much like Photoshop. It has the same feel. Obviously, mm-hmm. not the same tools, but it didn't feel like an alien environment.
Right.
I enjoy editing. I actually enjoy editing. I have not, you know, explored all of the areas that Premiere Pro has to offer because I don't need it for what moto vlogging is.
Sure.
You know, if I'm trying to create these cinematic masterpieces,
you're not?
I wouldn't be using a GoPro.
Well, you wouldn't be using an older GoPro.
No, mine is 7 years old, I think. Yeah.
Which one do you have?
I have three. Only two are in service, but they're GoPro Hero 4s.
Really? I have... Yes. You're going to laugh.
I have a 3 as well, but I haven't even turned that one on to see if it works.
You see that?
I can see it. What is it?
That's the original GoPro.
Oh, wow. Very cool. First one.
I use it. This is my secondary camera that I keep on my handlebars.
Ah.
And I got a Hero 8 Black that I use on my helmet.
Yeah, I've been fortunate that I haven't had any technical issues with the cameras I have. One of them was given to me, and that's what I started with, and that's what I started practicing with. And then I bought a used one because I was like, I'm going to just buy the same exact model.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't investing money in this. It was just a hobby. It was something to do and try and see what happens.
Yeah.
And they work great as long as they're used in a well-lit environment. If I ride too late,
yeah.
then, you know, no, they're super crisp on YouTube, even just at, you know, 1060 or 1080, 60, yeah. 60p, as long as it's well lit.
Yeah. Now, did you think this whole editing and posting thing was easier or harder than you thought?
It's definitely not more difficult than I thought. I knew it would be a challenge just to learn and take on a new process.
Yeah.
But I've always been very technologically inclined, so I'm not easily
daunted.
So
you're
daunted.
A geek. You're a nerd, right?
Kind of, yeah. Sure. Call me that.
Yeah, nerd. There's nothing wrong with that. Nerd is cool.
I've been called worse things.
You're not a gamer, are you?
No, I could never get into that. My son is like massive into the gaming, and that makes me think of the Google. I was having
the Google.
I use it now as a joke because there was someone, you know, sharing a story, and they were like, "Oh, my grandmother was talking about," and she was like, "Could you look it up on the Google?" And so now, you know, when I'm joking around with my friend at work, I'm like, "Just check the Google." But no, not a gamer.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, but I think it really, your channel is really good. I like your videos. They're very clean. Just great content. You're really doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And hopefully by you being here on the show, it'll help your channel grow a little bit more. You know, we're looking forward to that. So it's good. So what can we expect from Ginger Dash Moto in the months to come? The hot's going to be coming, so yes. We know that's going to calm things down. But go ahead.
Well, one thing that I have told my viewers that I will be doing on a semi-regular basis is visiting a park and sharing a Florida park with them.
Yeah.
I've done that twice. And so, you know, hopefully I'm going to get at least another one or two park visits in there. I might have to actually get up early for that.
Uh-oh.
But see, that's the thing, is this just goes to show that I am not business minded about YouTube, because I didn't start it with that in mind, and I still don't really have it in mind as a business. So I don't have a massive plan, you know?
Yeah.
I think
I think it's more developing your brand.
Yes.
And you now that you have this channel, much to probably to your wishes, you have developed your brand. You are a brand. You know, Ginger Dash Moto is it, and so you have to grow that, and you have to persist with that.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, I asked a question in one of my early videos. I was like, you know, I don't know why I was talking about it, but I was like, you know, what do you look for in a YouTube channel? And a lot of people took that question in a way that I didn't mean. I wasn't asking them to tell me what to do. I was asking because I know for me, when I watch a channel, I connect for various reasons to the people more so than the content, I think. And so I guess I was kind of looking for, you know, what is it that draws you to a channel? Like, not the actual, like, oh, they're reviewing this or they're reviewing that. Why do you resonate with this person? Yeah. You know, because I am like, I am the most normal person. Well, okay. No, I take that. Not normal.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm not normal. Okay, fine. I'm weird. People tell me that. And I'm okay with that. But no, I am a regular person. Like, my life is not even remotely exciting. I go to work like everybody else or most people. You know, I do the laundry, I cook meals, I go to the grocery store. It's not like I'm living some charmed existence just because I happen to own a motorcycle. So future of the channel, it's like, I would like very much to be able to augment what I currently do by also sharing moto vlogs that are just that, moto vlogs. They started out being conversations about whatever. Yeah. Now, granted, I can't really sit on the back of a motorcycle and be like, oh, I'm going to have my cooking vlog now. Like, that's ridiculous. But, you know, sometimes you just want to share stories about life, and people will either resonate with it or they won't.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's good. How can people learn more about your channel and connect with you?
currently there are two places they can find me. Obviously, that is on YouTube first, and that's Ginger-Moto, easy to find in the search bar. Mm-hmm. And I'm also over on Instagram, and it's just Ginger Dash over there. I have discouraged people from sending me DMs. But hey, you can certainly make a comment or leave a note over there, and I'll still be like responding as long as you're not a creeper. Because that is something all of the female moto content creators face, whether they disclose their relationship status, whether they don't disclose their status, whether everyone knows they're married or single. You know, it's just like this crazy free for all.
Yeah,
where,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't get that. So I'm all right.
I don't really either. I want to connect to people. Like, I want person to person, human to human contact. It's
like-minded,
not about
people.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. You know. So, any last words or of those thinking about getting into writing or maybe starting a YouTube channel of their own?
I do have. Funny enough, my video this week is very pointedly addressing people who have never ridden a motorcycle and what they absolutely should do to start. Like, what's the very first thing you should do?
Okay.
And then I am probably going to put out some content because I'm cheap, as we already discussed, I think, earlier. How to do this, like, on a budget. How to start moto vlogging on a budget. You know, what you really need to do. I think a lot of people don't do their research. It's like, for me, even though I didn't do it because I had some grand business plan in mind, I'm such a perfectionist that I still wanted it to look good, you know? So I watched countless hours of videos from people who talk about being successful on YouTube, even if it was just about creating good thumbnails or writing good titles, having theme colors, you know, whatever it comes down to.
I
wanted it to be something I wasn't embarrassed to put up. So, you know, that's advice, is do your research. You can learn anything on YouTube. You can learn everything on YouTube if you have time.
This is true. There is true. All right, Gina, I want to thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. You've been an absolute joy to talk to, and I hope to see many, many more videos on your channel in the months and years to come.
Well, I am incredibly thankful and flattered that you invited me, and I had a great time talking to you.
I'm glad. Thank you very much, Gina. Take care.
Thanks.
The Motorcycle Men Podcast is supporting David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation, so go on over to davidsdreamandbelieve.org to donate and see that your money goes to something that actually makes a difference. And the Gold Star Ride Foundation, helping families of fallen soldiers. So if you'd like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, go to goldstarride.org and learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. Thank you for joining me and Gina here in the V-Twin Cafe on the Motorcycle Men Podcast, where we talked about her YouTube channel, Ginger-Moto. Links to Gina's channel will be in the show notes, and of course, a direct link will be on the Motorcycle Men website for you to hit anytime, and that's going to be on our links page. Hey, don't forget to get on over to the Ride with Ted YouTube channel. While not as successful as Gina's, it's still kind of goofy to watch anyway. And you can watch some of the many videos that are there, including the Ted Shed and the Ride with Ted videos. And of course, t-shirts, sweatshirts, and other apparel are now available and can be purchased on the shop page of the website. So get on over there and get yourself a Motorcycle Men coffee cup, neck gaiter, sweatshirt, and maybe even a t-shirt. So for the rest of the Motorcycle Men team, thank you for listening. And remember, boys and girls, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Ride safely, kids.